Welcome to the Kenkel Fritz and Friends podcast. If you want to hear the show, you can find it on Family Life Radio. If you want to find a station near you, you can go to myflr.org or stream it online.
Family Life Radio, it's Kenkel Fritz and Friends. We're talking about waking up in the morning, whether you hit the snooze button or not. Misty's a serial snoozer. I hit it once. And then we're talking about this method I found out from a friend. You tap your head a certain amount of times, like once for each corresponding hour, like you want to wake up. So you'd hit your head 5 times to wake up at 5 a.m., that kind of thing. Uh-huh. And I've never tried it. And you were calling about that?
Yeah, I was thinking about what you said about the snooze alarm. And I thought about how your wife was touching your nose. I can't help it, but she was like doing an easy snooze alarm.
I think I remember telling a story about my wife touching my nose before, but I can't remember what it was all about.
It was a while back. She was just messing with you, trying to get you up.
That's what it was.
Oh, man.
That was her way of having a snooze alarm, you know, on your nose, a snooze alarm.
You know, I just, so what you're saying is, I just, before I go to bed, honey, can you tap my nose at 5 o'clock in the morning?
I'm so out of this conversation.
There's just Sally laughing in the background.
It cracked me up, boy, when you said that, you know?
You're cracking me up. Oh my God, listen to Sally.
You have broken Sally, by the way.
She's gone on tilt. Talking about how many times you hit that snooze button. Dan is with us. What do you think?
I'm a non-snoozer for going on 10 years now.
A non-snoozer. You don't use a snooze button.
No, but I'll tell you what happened. So about 10 years ago, I read something that said that when you hit that snooze button, you're basically, the very first thought you're putting into your mind is a lie, because you told yourself you were going to get up at a certain time, and then you didn't do it. And your subconscious springs into action right when you tell it that first lie. So you're starting your subconscious off on a negative thought. I don't know how true that is.
Oh, interesting.
For the last 10 years, I've put it into motion, and I've literally never, like, I don't ever snooze. And people think I'm crazy because I'm the biggest morning person.
No, I agree. Here's my thought. It's just that's going to be your most difficult thing you're going to do today. So just get it out of the way, get out of bed. And I notice that, you know, as the moments go by, I'm waking up. And all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, I think I can do this. So if I lay in bed, I'm kind of telling myself that I don't want to face the day. I start worrying about, you know, anyway. Huh. Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting thought, Sally. Mm-hmm. And sir, that's interesting, too. I think this, though, what if I'm not telling myself I'm waking up at that time. I'm telling myself that I'm going to wake up after my snooze goes off again.
Okay.
What if I'm still lying to myself? That's interesting, though. Yeah, I guess if you are, you know, if you hit it saying that, yeah, you're going to wake up that time, that's an interesting thought. You're lying. Wow. That's strong.
Yeah, that is strong.
I should rethink the snooze that's going off.
You know, the worst thing is when your partner is the 5 snooze person, right?
Oh, and then you get to hear them all morning.
Their alarm keeps going off. And
poor
and you're
Jason.
There and you're like, all right, come on, just do it.
Strangely enough, it doesn't wake Jason up, but there have been times that our oldest dog, like, looks at me and snorts, like, get off.
If you get on social media, chances are it's right there in your face. A lot of politics, a lot of fighting, mm-hmm. a lot of arguing, a lot of finger pointing, a lot of. And we saw this earlier, and maybe this will help you. And it was a really good article, and it said, what if this season is less about politics and pandemics and more about how Christians react? You know, what if it's less about sharing your opinion? Because that's what we want to do, right? You see something? Yeah. Hey, I want to correct that.
First inclination.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're totally wrong. It's time for me to correct you. What if it's less about that and more about sharing Christ?
Amen.
What if we're not supposed to give others a piece of our mind? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But instead, the truth of the gospel. You know, we know things are going to get worse as we go. Why are we wasting our voices on arguments and angry jabs? So little time with our voices sharing hope. And it made me think about is this what the enemy wants us to do? Get That's totally powerful. Involved in an argument online, and what is our focus on? It's not off sharing the good news of Jesus. Maybe the enemy loves this because we're spending so much time on this instead of talking about Jesus.
Yeah. Love it.
And I feel like depending on how you react, it can damage your witness even.
Ooh.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if nothing else, it's just a big whole billboard for my way.
Right.
I want to be right, and I want you to understand that I'm right, and I want to prove that I'm right.
Yeah.
And has nothing to do with sharing the peace, the hope, the joy
right.
that we live in as a privileged people to know Jesus.
Amen. You know, it reminds me of something a pastor once said. We were attending his church, and he said something that he thought some people would send in some complaints about in some emails, you know. He goes, all right, hold on to your emails, because I know they're coming. Mm-hmm. He said, why don't you instead pray for me? Because I listen to God, and if I'm off track, I'm going to hear from him. Hey, there's a thought. Right?
There's a higher opinion, yes.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I'd love to get your perspective on that. You can give us a call. 888-888-9976. Chances are you've done things wrong. There's a shocker. And we need to sometimes apologize for those things that we do wrong. Have you noticed how hard that is sometimes? Can I use the term suck it up or like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like swallow your pride. Okay, here I go. You know, it's not easy to do that.
Man, I found myself in that situation just not too long ago where I reacted rather than responded. And the difference is when somebody says something, does something that just touches a nerve. And I just, bang, came right back out in not such a kind way to my sweet friends, whom I love very much. And so it was one of those head-hanging moments where you walk away and you're just like, oh, beat yourself up. But then I knew God was like, Sally, I've forgiven you. Now you need to ask for forgiveness.
Yep.
And oh man, is that hard to do. And so at first I was tempted to just go to my friend and say, I'm sorry. But yet, you know, there were witnesses to this moment.
Oh, so you had to say you're sorry to several people.
I knew it. I knew I couldn't just say, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me to one? I needed to say it to the group that heard it. And here's the interesting thing. As painful as that was, the feeling afterwards was magnificent. Clean, washed, forgiven. Friends automatically jumped right in and said, well, I don't even know. No, that was fine. You know, and just reassuring moments where we could just be reunited in spirit because there was a break there.
That's nice that they all came back with that answer. They could have been like, yeah, you should have apologized to us.
You know, have you ever noticed when somebody does something they're proud of, they hold their head high and they want to be seen? But when you do something like that and you know that you just came back, it's one of those head hanger moments.
Sure.
But after doing what I felt God had called me to, which was respond in a kind way and ask for forgiveness, heads back up again.
Yeah.
Relationships are restored. And it's just a word of encouragement today. If you've got something that you're holding on to, you need to let go, do it. Feels
good
afterwards. You know,
that's a good point. There's a response and react. And I like that. That's a good point. It does take pre-thought and planning to properly respond.
It does.
What we all ought to do. But sometimes we just lash out or, you know.
Yes.
So, thanks for apologizing to us, Sally. You know, the biggest mess up that I always feel like a complete bozo, you know, someone drops you off at the airport and they say, have a nice trip. And I'll go, you too. And
the waiter, enjoy your dinner. You too.
Same. It happens in restaurants. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
But now, Misty, this happened on purpose, but you didn't quite realize what you said?
Yeah, no, I misunderstood what was being said to me.
Okay, all right.
I've had psoriasis since I was a kid, and I go to a dermatologist for it. And when I was in my 20s, my dermatologist, if you walked into his waiting room, you would see a lot of women. He looked a lot like the actor that played The Mentalist just a very handsome, very nice guy.
And this is before you were married?
I was very single. I was in my 20s and I was single. And I had a little crush, not gonna lie. So I had.
How often did you go to this doctor?
only as often as needed.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, I'm getting a little itch over here. I need to make an appointment.
But they did this light therapy on my arms to clear up the psoriasis, and it worked just beautifully. Like within 6 weeks, it was gone. And I went back, and he was checking my arms, and he goes, "Oh, and I'd been like dieting and exercising," and he goes, "I have to say, you just look fantastic." And I was like, "Thank you. So do you." And he just kind of like, he was holding my arm up looking at it, and he dropped it as I said that, and he backed away from me, and I went, "You met my arms, didn't you?" And he said, "I did, yes." And visits were very short from then on out. And the nurse was always with him from then on out.
The nurse was always with him.
Never left his side.
Mr. Jordan's showing up at 2 o'clock. Ma'am, can you make sure that you're... Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, you got a story like that? We'd love to hear it. 888-888-9976.
Our invite a friend promotion where you let somebody know about your favorite radio station.
Being Family Life Radio.
And you could win a $500 gift card. So call us right now, 888 and 888-9976. Tell us who you'd like to invite. Vanessa is with us from Albuquerque. Tell us who you're inviting.
It's actually my son.
Oh, okay.
He's 18. He just turned 18 about a week and a half ago. And he's always listening to his music. I had been listening to the family radio, been listening it like here and there, but I did that 30-day challenge, and since then I haven't like listened to any of the music I listen to anymore, and it's been amazing. And it's actually changed me too, my attitude, everything, and it just makes me feel so alive, and you know, I could just feel God's presence. Anywho, my son, I told him if he could just listen to it. So the last few days, it's unbelievable because he had been listening to it. His attitude is a little bit different.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So,
and he's only been listening for 3 days now.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, my daughter, she listens to it every morning with me, and it's so cute because she always, like, she knows some of the words, and she's really smart. And so when she hears Jesus, she says, "Jesus." And then she puts her little hand in the air, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful.
How old is she?
She's 2 years old.
Oh my gosh.
So cute.
Yes. Yeah.
And it is cute because one morning we were driving to daycare, me and her, and the sun was shining in our windshield, and she's all, "Mom, that's God." And she's all, "That's God." And I was like, "What?" I looked back and I was like, "Wait, what did she see?"
That's cool.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, you are in the running to win a $500 gift card. And just for calling in, we're going to give you some free music.
Awesome.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Why don't you nominate a friend right now? 888-888-9976.
Family Life Radio, it's time for the good news of the day.
It's good news.
Fritz and friends, we want to hear your good news. Give us a call at 888-888-9976. Tell us what's going on.
Almost 11 years ago, my family and I lost our house in a house fire. God was so good to us. He blessed us so greatly that we got back tenfold of what we used to have.
Wow.
Wow, tell us more.
So yeah, give us the details here. How'd this happen?
We don't know how the fire had actually started. God woke my sister up from the dead of sleep. She was sleeping. And here she woke up and her wall was completely red with fire.
Whoa!
And so she screams, "Fire!" thinking just to wake the older sister up and they could put it out. I woke up and I stumbled downstairs and we got what we can. We lost everything except for two baby goats. We had six in the house and I was able to get two out. And then we had two dogs and then two birds. And we were able to get all of those out plus ourselves. All of a sudden, the donations started pouring in more than we could ever ask for.
Wow.
So the Lord blessed us with a new house that holds heat a whole lot better. The house we did have was over 100 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it didn't have any insulation or anything in the house. And now we're living in a house that is 10 times better than that one was. And wow. So we are greatly blessed by the Lord for that.
That's awesome. Yeah, wow. The thought of losing all of the stuff that might be important to us in a fire, that's... We don't take that real seriously, but when I really think about it, it's like, yeah, that would be devastating.
Yeah, my mom doesn't have anything from her mom anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So now she doesn't have anything left but just her memories, and we were able to keep everybody alive. And as Dad had said, it's not the things that count. It's the people that count.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's a lesson for us all in everyday life.
You know, a complete reset of your priorities.
Totally.
Right?
If we can just if we could just realize and remember every second of the day, it's God first, then people is the most important thing. But we get, you know, one of the definitions of restoration is better than before.
Wow.
Like if I take an old Mustang and redo the whole thing and soup it up, hey, it's better than it was before.
Wow. Okay.
I guess I didn't know that either. So.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. God can restore us all to better than before. I love that. Thank you so much for your story. Appreciate it.
Yep. Have a good day.
Good advice for you and your relationships here. Even if you don't have special needs, we've got Kristen Faith Evans and Todd Evans with us. They wrote this book, How to Build a Thriving Marriage as You Care for Children with Disabilities. But I think there's great wisdom here. Even if you don't have a child with disabilities or special needs. And they liken this to your relationship should be sort of like taking a backpacking trip. Listen to this.
We led groups, church groups, youth groups, and retreat ministry type stuff, taking people on backpacking trips in the wilderness. When they showed up, most people come with all kinds of stuff, and we would have to tell them to dump everything out of their pack and kind of reimagine for the journey ahead what was most critical, what was most important to take forward. And they usually would end up taking out 20, 30% of their pack, and then we'd help them to get new things back into that pack. And so we said, you know, that's really a good metaphor for our marriages. What is the things that we try to carry with us that are challenging to really making the marriage work? And how do we get rid of those and then pack in some new things and new skill sets that we can take along with us?
When you have a child with disabilities, it kind of rocks your world. And if you try to continue on pre-diagnosis, if you try to carry all that weight, pack it all in, you just can't do it. And you're going to be so worn out and so burdened.
Yeah, one of the biggest ones that was probably one of the toughest for us was our careers and our future. You know, we had all these dreams about what we were going to do together, how we were going to change the church and challenge people. And it got to be, if we hold on to this, it's never going to happen the way we see it's going to happen with that. We have to give that up, dump it out of our pack, and kind of relook at our lives and say, okay, now we're caregivers. What does that mean for our life? And so we had to reevaluate and kind of look at that together. So that's a giant item that people try to carry around, I think, a lot of times that we just had to get rid of.
You know, it's true. For example, maybe you don't know this. My wife, Becky, and I have a daughter diagnosed with multiple disabilities and special needs. And if my wife were to try to have a career, she would be fired.
Man.
Because she wouldn't be able to hold down a job because too many calls to pick her up from school, take her to the hospital. And so when something like this happens, slowly over time, it doesn't happen immediately. You realize the life that you thought you were going to have, it's not going to happen. And things are different now. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that new dysfunction in a way? It's not easy. So it's a really good book. And if you do have a child with disabilities, I encourage you to read this. How to Build a Thriving Marriage as You Care for Children with Disabilities. And we also get to talking about how do you help a family that has a child with disabilities. So that's coming up. Make sure you check out the book and make sure you check out the full interview in our podcast. Who is this and what can we do for you?
Hi, my name's Taylor, and you guys were talking about songs that we learned as a kid.
Oh, yes. Misty told us that she learned was the states through a song. We need to call my wife Becky up. She learned the Greek alphabet when she was pledging sorority by putting it to the tune of Green Acres. Well, what do you got for us?
So I learned, someone actually called in about it too. I learned the New Testament books in order.
Oh, that's cool. You know, we had somebody call in and try to do that, but they didn't remember the words. We'll give it to us.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Book of the Acts and Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus and Philemon, Hebrews and the Book of James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude and Revelation.
That's fun!
I'm having deja vu. I feel like I may have learned this at some point, but obviously it did not stick with me. But as you sing it, it sounds really familiar.
Yes, I learned it when I was in elementary school. We did Christian release time at my public school every Friday, and we got to go out of class and go into a little portable and learn all about God.
That's cool.
Wow, that's awesome. I wish we all had Christian release time.
I know, it was a lot of fun. It taught me a lot.
That's neat. Well, thanks for singing it for us.
Of course. Thank you guys for having worship time on my drive with me to work every morning.
Oh, well, you're welcome. And here is more Christian release time. So we're talking about things that you learned that were put to a tune. And you learned the President's Song in school. And do you remember it to this day?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay, we got to hear this.
Can you rip it off for us?
Yes, I will never forget it.
Okay.
So it only goes so far because when I was in school, you know, Bush was president.
Oh, yeah, you have to end with whatever president was current at the time, yeah.
Here we go. Wash-eyed, Jeff Mad, Monad Jack, Van Hare, Ty Pote, Phil Peer, Buchan Link, John Gray Hay, Gar R. Cleef, Harrison Cleveland, Mick Rue Taft, Will Harku, Rue True Eyes, Ken John Nix, Ford Car, Reg Bush.
That was kind of like a singing code.
Yeah.
It is. It's like a summer abbreviated, but I will never forget the president's in order to George Bush the first. So
that is hilarious.
Oh, I love that too. That's awesome. Wow.
It seems to stick with you, you know?
That's fun.
I do feel like you just delivered some top secret info somehow.
Yeah. Family Life Radio, we're Kankel, Fritz, and Friends. Ready for some joy this morning?
I got joy, 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 joy down in my heart today.
It's time for that joy report. Give us a call right now. 888-888-9976. And tell us what's bringing you joy. Tom is with us this morning. Tell us what's going on.
I'm thankful for something, and it also bringing me joy. I had shoulder surgery, good shoulder, about 9 weeks ago tomorrow.
Okay.
And I was able to put a T-shirt on for the first time this morning.
Wow, that's good.
I know sounds simple, it sounds minor, but I haven't been able to get my left arm to where I could wear anything other than a button-down shirt, and it just feels so good to have a T-shirt on.
Well, I think Sally can relate to where you're coming from.
I broke my shoulder plate.
Oh.
I totally understand the pain of trying to get dressed every morning.
Yeah.
Until those things are taken away,
yeah,
you don't understand the joy that you and I are feeling because we could put soft clothes on.
Yeah.
So thank you. And it's always good to be reminded of the little joys that we overlook. You know, sometimes they're taken away and we go, oh yeah, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
You don't know what you have till you don't have it.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you guys again for what you do. It does a lot of good.
Well, thank you. All glory to God. Family Life Radio, maybe you feel some pressure to be a follower of Christ and do certain things of God, and you don't feel like you're doing real good at that. Here's an interesting to think about. Somebody sent this to us. I thought this was really good. Thank you, Anne, for sending this in. She said, it's not our job to convert people.
Mm.
Or to even save people. Okay, right away, this sounds wrong.
I'm
just telling you that. It's wrong. It's not your job to convict people.
Oh.
It's also not your job to convince people. It's our job to tell people.
Oh.
Yes.
The convincing, the convicting, the converting, the saving. That's what the Holy Spirit does.
Okay. Wow, I love that. Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is tell.
Yeah.
You don't have to make him. By the way, in sharing my faith early on, I did feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and if you get rejected, you're upset and you're, you know, all your
like
response.
I'm a failure.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, uh-huh. They didn't say yes right away, or they didn't, you know.
Right.
But when I finally released that, I took an evangelism class, and that's what helped too. And that's the same thing they said in there. All you're supposed to do is talk about what Jesus has done for you.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the best way to tell about Jesus is to talk about what he's done in your life.
Amen. Mm.
And here's why. No one can argue with you and your experience.
Exactly.
Even atheists can't.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's your experience.
Yes.
So talk about what Jesus has done for you. That should change some lives.
Amen.
Cool?
I love that.
Yeah. And the changing is up to him.
Exactly.
That's right.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast. I would love to connect with you on Facebook and Instagram, where you can share your good news or joy report. Just look for and like FLR Mornings.
Thanks for listening to the Kinkle Fritz and Friends podcast, heard on Family Life Radio. We would appreciate it so much if you could rate, review, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. You can also find more exclusive content at myflr.org and FLR Mornings on both Facebook and Instagram. And if you support Family Life Radio, thank you.